Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Have you got some lipstick on?
I've got lipstick on. We always put lipstick on.
We can't do
podcast.
This without lipstick on, can we?
I'm wearing a long dress as well.
No, you're not.
Oh, try not to break the magic. I wanted the podcast people, our listeners, our beloved listeners, to think that, you know, we made a bit of an effort for them.
Yeah.
We've just run a bit of chapstick around our lips. Yeah. Oh, that sounds a bit rude. I didn't mean that.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah. Anyway, we're here with Dandy. This is Older and Wider.
Yay!
Hey, what happened last week?
We were rather in demand, weren't we? There was a bit of a media flurry.
We took a train to Manchester. We didn't go on the same train. You were on a different train because you were coming from Oxfordshire.
And I bet that was a relief, wasn't it, that you didn't have to talk to me for 3 hours?
Do you know what? I had the most glorious first-class train trip all to myself. I didn't pay the ticket, obviously. You never go first class if you pay yourself. Well, you'd be mad, wouldn't you? But the BBC were paying for us to go to Manchester, weren't they? And to do a morning slot on British...
Breakfast time. I think breakfast time is the words that you're looking for,
I lost it there for a second.
To talk about this, we need to tell them that. It was doing so well and is doing so well.
Well, it did. It spiked after we appeared on Breakfast Time with Charlie and Naga. Mm. And what happened, Judith? Where did we get to in the iTunes chart?
Well, the top of the comedy...
number one?
Yes.
Of the hit parade?
Yes, of the comedy podcasts. And number two in iTunes in general, which I think means that it's the number two, the second most popular of all podcasts.
For a moment, it was. I haven't dared look since because things fluctuate.
Let's not.
It's like once I wrote a book and I became a Sunday Times top 10 bestseller.
Oh, yeah.
And they've used that on every book I've written since.
Of course they have. I know.
So there you are. I might have a tattoo done of that.
so there you are, going up to Manchester on your train, first class. Yeah, go on.
Oh, God, you know what I had with me? I had my iPad. And I had successfully downloaded, I'm getting good at all this, you know, downloaded the episode of Call the Midwife, which I hadn't seen on the Sunday night.
Really?
So, yeah. And I watched that. And there was a man sitting next to me and it was all about cervical smears as well. He went, oh. But, you know, I just thought, no, that's fine.
You had your headphones on, didn't you? I mean, you weren't playing it to the carriage.
Maybe that was what I...
No, of course. Surely. So you watched Call the Midwife.
And do you know what? I had had a salad on the train because it was an evening train. I caught a 7 o'clock. And I took with me a salad from Itsu. That's one of my favourites.
God, it's really... I mean, I must admit, it is shaping up as quite an evening.
Oh, do you know what?
Yeah.
I almost came on the train.
So did you watch the Call the Midwife first and then eat your Itsu salad? Or which way round did you do it?
Both at the same time. They came round with the trolley and I didn't have a drink. I thought, no, I won't. Because I had a little bottle with me from Marx's, which I was waiting to have at the hotel. But they gave me... a box, little snack box of cheese and biscuits.
Oh, did they?
Do you know, I thought, when I get to that hotel...
I see where you're going with this.
I'm going to have a bath, get into my pyjamas, get into bed. I've got my little bottle of wine from Marks & Spencer's and your snack box.
Yeah. Just the one, or did you get two?
No, I just got the one.
I think I might have gone for two.
Because you know what happened?
What?
Somewhere between the train and the hotel, I lost my snack box.
No, Jenny, you didn't. You lost it.
I might have left it in the taxi.
Oh my God.
Crushing disappointment. When I had my bath. I put my little bottle of wine. It was one of those hotels where they still have fridges that you can put things in.
Oh, yeah.
And I put the bottle of wine, little bottle of wine, miniature bottle of wine, into the fridge.
Yeah.
I thought, have my bath, take my makeup, get into my pyjamas.
Yeah.
Take your bra off. Everything will be ready at the same time. Everything will be there. And the cheese snack box and the little bottle of Chardonnay. No cheese snack box.
Oh, Jenny. That is, are you still, I bet you're still trying to get over that.
I didn't know.
Dear me.
I didn't know where it could have gone.
Well, I'm very surprised that you're so careless with snacks.
Well, I'm
very surprised.
I should have tucked it down my pants. I don't know. I'd let it go.
You really should. I wouldn't have lost mine.
You weren't well that night. They were lucky to see you on the breakfast television.
I had a nasty turn in the night. I really did.
What happened?
Well, I woke up with these terrible chest pains. Oh. And I thought, well, oh, God, perhaps I'm having a heart attack. You know, I'm on live television tomorrow morning. Oh, my God. I thought, no, that's ridiculous. It's obviously heartburn, which I think I've had in the past. But normally, when you sit up, it kind of goes away, but it didn't. Yeah. And then I remembered that if you have some milk, that's supposed to be good for it, because I hadn't got any Gaviscon.
Yeah.
So I ate, swigged back the four of those little sachets of milk, you know, by the kettle.
Yeah.
I did that.
Those tiny little thimbles of milk.
Yeah, that was the only thing I could do.
And you thought that was going to save your life?
Yeah, still really bad. At which point I'm thinking, well, I might have to go and ring reception to say, can I have the doctor?
Yeah.
Well, that would be very time-consuming, and I'd be even more knackered for tomorrow morning. So then I made myself the hot chocolate, because I thought that might have a bit of milk in it, swish it around a bit. So all this is going on. Wait for hours. So I had that, and eventually it went, but it took absolutely ages. I was on the point of ringing.
Not me.
Well, I'm looking at you, yes. No, I wouldn't have rung you. Actually, I might have done. But yes, we were on breakfast TV, weren't we?
On the sofa with Charlie and Nagger.
It was rather exciting. It was rather exciting.
She's very beautiful.
There was a moment when we were standing, sort of waiting to go on the set, where I said to you, oh, I'm a bit nervous. And you said, well, don't think about it. Just think about it being those two. You know, don't think about all the millions of people that were watching. That was quite a good steer, actually.
Yeah, we were thrilled to be on the sofa with Charlie and Nagger.
And they'd listened to the podcast. They loved it. They'd actually listened to it.
Well, what Charlie said was that he had to turn his phone off because he didn't know how to stop the podcast.
Yes.
And I was going on a bit.
Well, I'm taking that as they liked it.
Well, yeah, I just sort of thought, well, you know, it's not for your demographic, but no. I love the idea that we were in bed with Charlie.
Oh, well, you quite fancy him,
I think Charlie is delightful. I think both of them are glorious couple.
Yes, they are. They are.
They're my favourite
breakfast
combo.
But he's a bit
combo.
Little. I thought he was a bit little.
No, not when he stands up. He was sitting down, Judith.
Well, so was when I. I thought he was still a bit little for me.
No, when he stands up, he's leggy.
Is he lucky?
Yeah,
he's got a lovely
smile,
hasn't he?
I love his colouring as well. I think he's absolutely gorgeous.
And nice little curls on the front there.
And then she's a very handsome woman.
Oh, she is. She
sometimes wears really nice blouses as well. And I sometimes think, I wish Nagger was my friend. I could phone her up and say, where'd you get that blouse from, Nagger?
Is that how you watch the news? Because I think I've got a horrible feeling it is how I watch the news, is what I'm doing, is I'm thinking, oh, nice blouse. Where did that come from?
Or dreadful hair. Who did you make up? Very bad.
A bit small, but, you know, wouldn't push him out of bed. Not listening to what they're saying. Well, that's terrible.
Really distracted me then. So we had a lovely little flurry then of publicity. And
we did, and we did Radio Manchester.
Yes, we were made to feel slightly important for all of about 25
minutes.
We like
that, don't we? We do quite like that. Yeah. And then I did the media show on Radio 4, didn't I, on Tuesday of last week?
Yeah, I listened to a bit of it.
Oh, do you mean a bit of it?
I listened to the whole thing. I kept trying to sort of skip the bits where you weren't talking, because when you weren't talking, it was quite boring.
Thank you.
But when you were talking, I was going,
that. It was quite grown up, that was, wasn't it? Because, the head of BBC local radio was there talking about her new initiative or something, and the BBC media correspondent.
I was really proud of you because you put back on your grown-up producer's hat.
Oh, thank you.
And talked like a grown-up.
Did I? Just for a bit, yeah. I can pull it off for about 10 minutes and then it all goes wrong.
You didn't do laughing.
No, I didn't. I was quite serious and quite, I wasn't bad, was I? Thank you very
indeed.
Much. I had to go to the loo quite a lot before I went on, but it was all right.
Oh,
anyway, that was
to
too much information, wasn't it? Anyway, how's your week been?
It's been very difficult, Judith.
Was it?
Difficult. Can I just, there's been a litany, I think that's the right word, a litany of disasters,
one after the other.
I've had a very bad run. February has been a tricky month. In the Eclair household. First of all, I needed a new car battery, £135. Okay, that's fine. I love my car. So the car battery went first.
Yeah.
I treated it to a new one. Then the dishwasher went.
Oh, no.
How many times, you know when your dishwasher is on the wobble?
Yeah.
And you look at it, you think, oh, that hasn't done anything. How many times do you make it go again before you give up? Seven times. And before I threw in the towel and went, OK, all right, you bastard. Mm. So anyway, Jeff and I thought we could... This bit had come adrift, so we thought we could try and fix it.
Right.
Jeff, you're right. So we've got the lid down. I've got my arm down this disgusting hole.
Yeah.
I'm asking for help from Twitter. Of course, everybody's telling me to put a bit of my Vagisam cream on the...
Is that what they said?
Yeah, yeah. Because I've got this clip thing that's come adrift and I've got to clip it back into place, but I can't find the bit anyway.
Yeah.
People are being so hilarious on Twitter trying to help. Not. And Jeff did this thing right where... He was on the floor and he leant on the lid to get up. Now he's heavy. And I heard...
Oh, no! Oh, no, Jenny.
I heard it.
Oh!
Well, if it wasn't broken before, it's fucking broken now, isn't it?
Snapped it off. Did he snap it off?
Not quite, but, you know, I heard a wrench and I thought, well, God in heaven, you stupid man. And he was going, I'm sorry, I think that was my fault. I thought, yeah, of course it is. Anyway, so we called a man out and the man said it's unfixable. So that's 600 quid for a new dishwasher.
Oh, dear.
OK, this isn't the end of it, don't you? No, right. So last Sunday we're off to my brother's, R. Benjamin's. He's having a family lunch, Sunday lunch. We're on our way to Benjamin's. He lives in Tunbridge Wells.
Yeah.
But Jeff's driving. He's got the Range Rover, hasn't he? He opens the boot at the back, big, flips up. It's one of those, got a big flip-up things.
Oh,
throws
yeah.
the coats in, closes the boot lid down. What does he close the boot lid down?
On the coat?
On my Mac. On my Mac that was actually his Mac that he bought before he met me. So 40 years ago, and it cost £800 then. It was the most expensive thing we've ever had in the house. And I have taken to wear it. It's a beautiful piece of craftsmanship. He's put the boot down on it.
Oh dear.
Okay, so the boot is now trapped. It will not open. It will not. It is absolutely. So we pretend it'll something will happen. Something will go over a pothole. It'll pop up.
Is it hanging out? Is it hanging?
No, it's not hanging out. No, because what it is, it's trapped under the lock. It's just in the lock. So he takes it to the Range Rover garage. He comes home. He's white. I said, he's ashen faced, and I said, well, how much is that? He said, guess. And I thought, well, it's going to be, you know,
200.
Oh, darling, £3,000.
Jenny, you are kidding.
I'm not kidding.
You are kidding.
I can barely speak for throwing up sometimes. But, you know, I have to admit at this point, before everybody's sort of fainting on my behalf, the brakes had gone as well. So they are fixing the brakes and getting the coat out. But it is the coat, to get the coat out, they would have to unscrew the back of the car and lift the back end of the car bodily off the lock because
Good
you
grief.
Cannot rip it out because even if you rip the coat,
be stuck in.
It would still be stuck in the lock.
So have you seen the damage to the coat yet?
No, not yet. That's being picked up this afternoon. We shall see whether it's in shreds or not. I could weep, Judith. I could weep.
But how did you... I mean, given that these two things were kind of Jeff's fault...
Well, I know, but I tried to be very good about it.
Well,
if it was Mike, what would you say, Judith?
Oh, Jenny, I don't... I mean... Honestly, I think...
You know when you said, have you booked a holiday yet? And I said, no. And no, I haven't. Well, that's why. There'll be no holidays for the Eclairs for the time being. And that doesn't seem fair to me, not when you've just had a holiday.
Me? You're talking about me?
Yes.
Yes, yes, I know. I'm better at doing holidays than you are, but perhaps I do sort of cheaper ones. But we took the girls to Lille on the train, which was lovely. And... I tell you what was really good is going on holiday where you didn't have to faff on at the airport. You didn't
Why
have to.
Why did you pick Lille? Lille
well,
doesn't sort of
I
spring
know,
out at
I
me.
Know. And Mike chose it, and the three of us all looked at each other, me and the girls, thinking, "Why on earth are we going to Lille? What's Lille got? But we couldn't have been more wrong. It's a fabulous place.
What's it got?
Well, it's got a huge kind of museum and art gallery that's got, you know, it's like a mini Louvre. It's got you know, nearly as much as the Louvre in it. Hardly any English people. I mean, because I think, I think they all go to Paris and Brussels.
Yeah.
Lots of fantastic shops, not very expensive. Fantastic restaurants. And, yes, a lot of wonderful cheese was had and nice markets. And, you know, it was good. And I bought these leopard skin boots.
You did, didn't you?
For about €65. And I'm jolly pleased with them, I am.
They look very comfortable and they're very nice. Stylish and comfortable.
Oh, stylish is all right.
What you've done, though, you've double leopard skinned, haven't you?
Yeah, the girls did warn me not to do that. And I've still done it.
She always does this.
I can't help it.
She gets a little bit an accessory, like a leopard skin boot, which are gorgeous, I find.
They're good, aren't they?
Yeah, what's she teamed it up with? A leopard skin dress. You've got the jeggings on underneath, and that's all fine, but you'd never double leopard skin.
Well, should I not have done the leggings, Tom? No, you're probably right.
No, never the
you're
double.
Probably right. I'm not going to listen to you. My mother was My mother was terrible about matching.
Matchy-matchy.
I have got a picture of me in my ballet tutu dress when I was about 6 or 7. So it was definitely in the kind of maybe late 60s.
And, stop. You're 6 or 7. It's not the late 60s.
It's the early 60s. Yes, all right. Okay, well, that was probably
trying to get
thinking.
That one in.
And if you look at our living room, she's got bright sort of flowery curtains, same fabric on the chairs, same fabric on the sofa, and the same fabric, would you believe, on a lampshade that she'd made. That is overmatching. Yeah. Even I can see that's overmatching.
But I have admiration for any woman that can make her own lampshades. My mother was the same. But get this, my mother was the least sentimental woman in the world. To the point that she cut up her wedding dress for a lampshade.
Did she?
Yeah.
Practical.
Yeah, no, but it was only in the second bedroom. It wasn't even in, you know, her bedroom.
And presumably it was just a tiny bit of it. What did she do with the rest?
Well, I don't know. I'll see her next week. I must.
You should ask.
Sometimes
her.
You forget to ask your mum about things, don't you?
There is sort of. You do. You need to ask.
Lots of things that I think, I must ask my mother about that. And then when I get there, she annoys me and I forget to have these nice long conversations.
Instead, we just
bicker over about whether she's using her iPad.
Yes, of course you do. I mean, we got on very well, you know, when we went to Lille with the girls for a while. But then what happened is what you're describing is that they went off me. And it happens really suddenly.
They turn on a sixpence,
they do.
Don't they?
Yeah, it's all very chummy. And then for no reason whatsoever, it's like this terrible smell that's arrived. And I can see that I'm just irritating the hell out of them.
And the
they've
more
had
you try not
just
to
had enough.
Irritate them,
yes, worse
well,
she gets.
I've got Phoebe's 30th birthday this weekend, and I'm treading on eggshells in case I upset her. She's already having panics about it. She thinks she's going to fail her 30th birthday. She phoned me up this morning. She said, "I don't think I can do it. I think I'm going to fail my 30th."
Oh, bless her!
I said, "You can't fail a birthday." She said, "I think I can." She's meant to be having drinks with friends, and of course, it's half term. Some of them are teachers; they've gone away, so it's always been like. That for
what
her
do
birthday.
You think? There won't be enough people there. She's even invited
her dad and I down.
Oh yeah, that is desperate.
And she said, "You know, I've always had quite a reputation for having quite groovy parties, and I think this one's going to not." And I said, "Well, it's just a death. Why are they making such a big song and dance about turning 30? It's like, I'll tell you what it is. It's like they treat 30 like we treated 21. The big 30. No, you don't have the big O until you're 50.
So, do you remember what you did on your 30th?
Well, this is very... That's interesting because I'd had her by then.
Do you remember what you did?
No, I've always been quite bad about celebrating my birthday. I prefer to go very quiet. I might have had a Sunday lunch or something like that. Mm. I can't... Can you remember your 30th?
Yeah, I think I had a party in Bristol. I was going out with somebody very
Were you not married by this point?
No, I wasn't. I was quite an independent woman when I was 30. I had a house in Brentford. And I was working on all
Brentford,
those...
Brentford nylons.
Yeah, all right, yes.
Was it there?
Yes, it was, it was. It was actually very nice.
She doesn't know what Brentford nylons is.
No, she doesn't.
Listen, if you're watching this podcast, you know you're of an age if you go in your head, Brentford nylons.
Jenny, they don't watch the podcast, they listen to it. But yeah, anyway. I was quite an accomplished sort of independent woman. It was the 80s, as you were saying. Plenty of money. I was earning lots of money working at LWT on chat shows and... You know,
what kind of programmes?
Aspel and Company, yeah. You know, and so all of those Hollywood stars that were on those programmes.
Did you sleep with any of them?
Oh, now that's a difficult question, isn't it?
One. She's just put up a single-digit finger. One. You won't tell us on the podcast,
No,
will
of course
you?
I won't.
Because they will sue.
I won't. But there were quite a...
Was it a man or a woman?
What's interesting is that the posh girls on the production team got people like Sean Connery, but, you know, the kind of the really big hitters, posh people, really... sort of would stalk them and kind of to ask them out.
Yeah.
I would tend to get the comedians, you know, the people like Paul Shane. I was at that sort of level. So there was a little something.
Paul Shane, better than that.
It was better than that, but
did
it was
you sleep with Paul
in
Shane
that
from
stable. No, I didn't. But I'm sure I could have done Jenny.
Oh.
I think I was in with quite a good chance. But
well
anyway.
Well done you.
Oh, look, my daughters might listen to this. This is terrible.
Well, they should
We've
be really
stop.
Proud of you.
Well, they won't know who Paul Shane was, will they? So that's a relief.
I'll tell them when I see him.
Yeah, you probably will.
I'll tell you who our guest is.
I'm excited about this guest.
Oh, no, we've got this.
I really am excited.
Hot, top, she's not here, though, yet.
Are you going to say who it is?
Yeah, go on.
Oh, I've forgotten her name. Oh, yes.
It's one, two, three, go. Felicity Montague!
Yes. Yeah. Ah, but she plays the PA, Lynn. Yeah. In Alan Partridge.
And the new Alan Partridge, yes, which is about to launch. In fact, by this time, this podcast
it will be out.
It will be out,
I'm very excited about it. But, you know, the character of Lynn, I have always thought that is a genius character. And she pulls it off so well.
She, unrecognisable in real. When you look at her 10 times, you go, of course you're Lynn. But on the street, you wouldn't go, oh, there's Lynn.
No, you wouldn't.
I don't think we'll have to ask her that.
I wonder if she's going to be glamorous. I think she might be
glamorous.
No,
she's not that glamorous. She's not. She's borderline. She's average. She's the same as you. Night,
she won't be carrying the bags, though, will she? She won't be carrying Alan's bags.
No, she won't be carrying. She'll be carrying her own bags, though. She's quite bag happy. I think she's a bit like us. Yeah, she's normal.
You might have to ask her what she's got in her bag.
She'll have at least 2 bags.
Okay, all right.
If she hasn't got 2 bags.
I think she'll have one. You think she'll have 2? I think she'll have one.
2, because she might have bought us a present.
Wishful thinking.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Felicity Montague.
We're rather starstruck.
I'm starstruck
because
I know when she was nothing.
I mean, I know you've done loads and loads of things.
Such a bitch. She knew me when I was a nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, you are a liar.
No, you are actually our top guest of all time.
Oh, come on.
Because we've only done 10 of these, so don't get uppity. Okay. And what did I bring you in today? What hadn't you seen for many a year?
My scarf.
You were reunited with the scarf.
Disgusting.
That I stole from you.
Yeah, you stole it, Jenny.
Yeah, I did.
You knew I got up and I bought you a glass of wine. I remember it quite clearly.
Where was this?
This was in a bar after recording.
Oh, yeah. We did and a pilot episode.
We did a pilot
didn't
episode.
Quite work, yeah.
How long ago is this?
About 7 years.
I think Jenny's lying. I think it was about 10.
Really?
So I've been without my scarf.
Oh, she's had a cold neck.
So wait a minute.
I've had a cold neck.
So you went off to buy a drink.
No, I bought her drinks. Very nicely bought her drinks.
Yes.
Then I had to go.
Yeah. Bye.
And then I realised I left my scarf. So she said to me, oh, you've left your scarf. And I thought the polite thing for her to have done would have been...
I'll send it to you back.
Give me your address. And
Didn't happen.
What she did, she said, I'm having it.
And I've had it for probably about 10 years.
Isn't it an irony? I turned up with a yellow scarf that my son bought me for this Christmas and it's the same colour.
And it's the same. Well, it's very on trend. Mm. So that's how long ago it must have been, because it must have gone out of fashion and come back in fashion.
Do you know what
my mission is? Right.
My mission is that the one she forgot the first time around 10 years ago, it's all right. It's just a wool. It's just a blankety wool one.
I'm not sure, actually.
The one that she has from her son, I think it's got a bit of cashmere in it.
Is it
much
already,
nicer? You're not having it,
so
Jenny.
My mission today is to swap the old scarf for the new, and I will continue to have Montague scarf.
Do you want me to keep her talking?
Yeah.
Is it looking the other way?
Distract her. Mm-hmm. The next week is going to be a big week for you, because Lynn is back on our screens.
Yeah.
Lynn was away for a little while, wasn't she?
Yeah. The thing is about Lynn is she comes and she goes.
Yeah.
And I love it when they take me up, and then I'm... You know, and I enjoy it when I see it without Lynn. So Lynn will always be in the background somewhere, always in my head. And I think she's in Steve's head, you know, and the boys, Neil and Rob Gibbons' head. But, you know, she was in the movie, the Alpha Papa movie.
Yeah.
And then Steve does a lot of kind of documentary stuff on Alan, you know, like he tours and he does stuff like that. And sometimes you find he'll call Lynn or something, and someone will say, well, we're not in that post. No, I wasn't in it. You know, that's just Steve doing his documentary stuff, you know. And so I actually wasn't sure if they were going to use Lynn. And I'm not just being modest.
Yeah.
I didn't know whether they would or they wouldn't. And, you know, and you just have to be philosophical.
And when
I've been so lucky to be in so much so far.
When the call for Lynn comes, do you sort of, do you know how to step back into her immediately? In the same way Steve can step back into Alan Partridge, can you step back into Lynn?
Well, it's funny you ask that, actually, because sometimes it's quite nerve-wracking. Because you've done things and you think, I'm now going back onto a different area in a different sort of... It's a different setting this time round. So will Lynn fit in? Will it work? I mean, you know, the boys know it'll work or not. Yeah. And they will use you or they won't use you. If they think it's not going to work, they won't use you. So you have to have a 50-50, 50-60% faith it will work. But I think there's nerves. And
Will you be watching? Will you watch in situ when it starts?
No, I never watch in situ. I always watch afterwards. It was Matthew Kelly years ago I worked with. We did a sketch show, and then I worked with him 30 years later in Pride and Prejudice on a tour. It was such fun to work with him all those years later. But he told me when we did the sketch show, I said, he said, "Will you be watching yourself?" And I said, "No, I won't be, Matthew." And of course, I was a young chick then. And he said, "Oh, you, but you will. You must. You know, a couple of months down the line, close the curtains, put the box on, and just watch yourself." And
well, said, critique yourself.
Yes,
critique
and that's yourself. What he said, and that's what I do. Sometimes I watch it when it's going out, and actually there's too much sort of talk and other people are watching it, so I like to watch it on my own.
Concentrate.
To see where the old tricks are coming in, and what, you know, you want to get rid of those tricks. Mm. You want to try and sort of...
And is it exciting,
try and be new
though?
Every time, get something interesting.
But it must be. It must have been exciting to have got the call and said, right, the scripts are coming. And it's a whole new scenario because this it's a kind of 7 o'clock show scenario, isn't it? That Alan's back on the telly.
They sort of say it's roughly sort of based on the one show kind of thing.
That's
and,
what
and
I mean,
the partnership
yeah.
between Steve and Susanna is excellent. They're really, really good. And Lynn only comes on in little sort of off-camera moments. And it's sort of...
They're going to be great, though. We're so excited.
Oh, it's very sweet of you.
I remember first seeing that character that you put there, the PA, just thinking it was masterful. Just that, you know, that... I mean, the kind of... the way that he talks to you and the way you look sort of downtrodden and the bags you carry and just, you know, it's your
well, she's moved on flustered. Slightly from there. She's slightly moved on from there. I think that this is the big break. There's years and years and years of dross in Norwich.
Yeah.
And she's thinking, oh, my
London.
God, he's going to blow it. It's like ever since that terrible cheese day, you know, smell my cheese. Basically, she's thinking, Lynn is thinking, oh, my God, he'll probably blow it. He'll probably blow it, but let's just really
he's
go
so,
for this.
You're so much brighter than he is, obviously.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not sure Alan Partridge thinks that.
No.
Obviously. No. But, but I think I was most nervous when I went back on the second series.
Yeah.
Because it was like, gosh, this has been very successful. And when something's been very successful, it's always very, very nerve-wracking.
It's that thing of not... It's a slight superstitious actressy thing as well, or performancy thing, where you think, how do I recreate the magic? Was it a fluke?
Well, that's the problem. That's what they... All the time people were saying, the magic, can we recreate the magic? And that's... That,
it's a horrible phrase.
Yes, it is. So you have to walk away from it and absolutely disown it and then walk back in and say, OK, this is what I'm going to do and these are the positives and let's just take the positives from that. And I mean, you don't literally say that, but that's the only way I feel I can work. Mm. And I actually was excited we did the movie because it was exhilarating and it was like a...
But you've done other film as well. You've got a bit of a film.
But it wasn't the film. It wasn't just the film. It was the fact of actually taking Lynn and Michael and... Alan, all of them, you know, as Steve said, out of the sitcom, you know, the hamster wheel, into a world where they have to change and they have to feel things and they have to move forward. And so that was exhilarating to take these characters out and see if they'd work. Mm. And that's what they did. They did such a good job on that movie because it was so clever.
Do you think Steve is a genius?
Yes, if he's not listening, yes, I think he's a
genius. Yeah, yeah. If he's listening, Steve, we think you're an idiot. I've known him a long time. Well, he went to the same drama school as me, obviously.
The Manchester one,
In Manchester. After
Julie Walters
left.
Went there, didn't she?
Yeah, I wasn't
Richard
there when
Griffiths
she was
went
there.
There.
I wasn't there.
Matthew Kelly went there.
Yeah, Matthew Kelly is a really great person to work with. I've done Panto with him.
I love Matthew.
Very, very talented.
They're both very good friends of mine, actually.
Yeah.
Have you seen Steve in Stand and Ollie?
Yes, he's brilliant.
I haven't seen that film yet.
He's extraordinary.
Yeah, I know.
He is extraordinary. And the thing about Steve, he's got, when you meet him, as you know, he's got this incredible concentration. Very few people have it. You know, they literally, they're looking at your costume, they're looking at everything, and they're talking to you at the same time, being quite funny. But you know that he's also producing it. You know he's also writing it. You know that's, he's just so clever.
One last Lynn question. Do you get recognised on the street as Lynn?
No.
didn't think you would, you see.
Well, I do get recognised occasionally. Someone says...
Do you have a face? Do you have one or two faces?
My children say I have a chin.
Where a lin chin.
If I'm really pissed off with them...
And Does the chin come out a bit?
The chin comes out a bit.
Oh, show me. I want to see it.
I'm not sure I can do it. But Luke goes, often says, here comes the chin. Because he was at school in... Because I used to live in the country. Basically, the headmaster sidled up to him one day, and Luke was always in trouble. You know, so like Luke thought, oh God, here we go. And he went, so Luke, he said, do you watch your mum? And he went, well, yeah, I know my mum. It's like so embarrassing. I think he's about 12 at the time. And he said, so have you seen Alan Partridge? And he went, what? And he went, Alan Partridge. And he said, your mother plays a character called Lynn. And he went, oh. He said, hang on a minute. He said, have you watched it? And he went, no. And he went, oh my God, that's terrible, Luke. You haven't watched your mother. And I was so annoyed with the headmaster. I mean, he was a very good headmaster. He was a good man.
Yeah.
But obviously, he was...
He had a little Achilles heel.
He wanted to know
there,
what
he?
Steve Coogan was like.
Yeah,
sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
That's what most people want to do. They say, is Steve Coogan the person that they dream up in the press? That the press dream up? And, you know, that's... They want to say... And they want Luke to say, oh, yes, he is. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what people are looking for. They're looking for the Daily Mail heading. Well, actually, Steve is much more complicated than that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Much more good-natured and much more warm-hearted than anyone could imagine. He's kind of got this facility. Incredible. I mean, you can only be born with that, I think, with a musical ear. But also then he's got the technique. He can do anything with his voice. Once you've got that ability, then you go into the arena of getting work... And then you've got confidence.
And the writing.
And then you've got the writing, you've got the brains, and you've got the ability. You're way ahead of everybody else to start off with. And then there are people who join the profession, they're very, very good, and then they get better and better and better as to who they work with. Mm. They learn from people they work with. And I just think it's just one of those things you have to learn in life. I mean, I wasn't born with those kind of genes.
Where do you put yourself on that scale? Do you put yourself as someone who has natural ability but also needs to learn?
I think probably 75% learning.
Where did you learn? Where did you start off?
I just watched people the whole time.
Did you? Are you not trained?
And I sing.
Get out of the business.
No, I mean, I went to university, then I went to drama school.
Which drama school?
I went to Webber Dee, that's now Central.
Yeah, Webber Douglas.
But basically, I always used to watch people as a child and I used to imitate them. But not to the level of Steve.
So you can't take on voices?
Well, I had a maths teacher, right. She used to, you know, smoke in the class. And she used to look outside the class and she used to take her top off.
And, totally off.
And she had like a silk nightie.
A little
slip.
Like
a petticoat, a slip. Yeah. And she used to go, right, Montague. She said, what's the 8 times table? And then drag a cigarette. And she had one of those kind of like, you know, like literally golden
parting,
hair.
Yeah, because
well,
of the
there
nicotine.
Were buns stuck at the top. It's all that, yeah. You know. And then there was like, and you know, she used to like say, you know, I'm hot. And so she'd...
She
had big jewellery. And
great.
I'd love to play her one day. But, you know, like, so that was all I cared about in the maths classes, that about this woman. I'd be passionate to get to the class really early because all I wanted to do was watch her. So really, that's all I did, really. Mrs. Wigglesworth, who did, you know, and she used to do a lot of this, you know. And I don't know.
It was maths teachers.
I used to watch
mental.
People all the time. And, my you know, the teachers would talk to my... I mean, it's classic actor, isn't it? But the teachers would talk to my parents saying... You know, I remember my father came home one day and he said, oh, we've been to the parents' evening, darling. And, what they say, Dad? Like this, you could feel such a failure. And he said, well, they think there's a little something about the wiring in the brain. Because in those days, they didn't know all these things. And and he said, so we just said to them not to worry. I'm sure it will go away.
Do you think you were ever so slightly backward, as they would
yes,
otherwise have called
it? Yes, or just like
it?
Wiring in the brain. I wasn't getting the right receivers through. Something wasn't quite working. Run to the pack sort of thing. But it will all go away in time. Gosh. And before my father died, bless him, he said to me, I have an apology to make to you. And I said, what, Drogo? And he said, I think you're so much more capable than I ever thought
gave
you
credit
were. And he
for.
Said, and I just don't think we did anything about it. And he said, I'm just so sorry.
What did you call him? Drogo?
Yes,
what's,
Drogo.
What? Don't look at us and say, don't you call your dad Drogo. No, we don't all call our fathers Drogo. What's the Drogo for?
John Drogo, Montague.
It's such a great... Get rid of the John. Drogo Montague is just such a fantastic, sexy kind of swashbuckling name.
So
what's your mum like?
My mum was an Australian. So my father met my mother on a blind date in Australia at a bush party.
It's a long way to go for a blind date.
Well, he was working out there in industry by that point, and his date fell through. And so someone said, oh, well, I know, you know. And
There's a Sheila
along the road, and her name's Dottie. And Mum put on her ball gown, and she stood at the top of the steps, and within 3 months they were engaged. It's mad.
There is a big theatrical streak coming through your family because your daughter, she's got it.
Yeah, and my nephew is training at the Guildhall doing jazz.
So
there's another composer there. But actually, it's very strange because I had three brothers. I was going to say to you, my father was in the second Punjab, where obviously left the army. And then suddenly it became very, very traditional, the family. Like, my brothers went off to boarding school and they went to Sandhurst and...
God, it's a lot of army.
And so I had three brothers.
And all at Sandhurst?
Two in the light infantry, one in the bomb squad, Royal Artillery, Royal Engineers, he's a sapper. And... he went to Cambridge, did engineering. He's quite brilliant, Nigel. And then my sister is very bright, extremely musical, and she married a chap in the army, the tanks. And then I have all my cousins. And so suddenly all my family dispersed when they left university. They were all off in bases and stuff like that. And I don't... Interesting.
But the world of show business is littered with army brats. I know you say you weren't an army brat, but there's something that comes from... I think my father was... If you're allowed to be theatrical and army, I think he was, because he escaped a very working class Blackpool background
and became a major. That's some achievement.
Because he had an ear for accents, which is something I don't have at all. But he taught himself how to sound posh. I mean, my father. I mean, his brother, Stanley, at all, like that. And, he always had a fag on the bog. You know, he were a proper northern bloke, you know. And smoked his legs off. He was one of those. And then my father talked like that.
Did he?
Oh, absolutely.
Self-taught.
He was a fruity. He had a proper fruity voice.
Yes,
an absolutely delightful voice.
Well, good for him. Because in those days, unless you had that fruity voice, it was very difficult. Nowadays, the army is a very different place. You can come from any background, I believe. The Imperial War Museum did a recording with Drogo, as one of the last few white officers alive. I mean, he subsequently died 5 years ago. He was 97. And it was just the life and times of an ordinary officer in India.
But it was,
and
actually, there's it was no absolute, ordinary life there.
No, it was
extraordinary.
The life was extraordinary, but he was quite a modest man. And I think that he felt his life was incredibly ordinary. I had no idea, because I used to go to the Punjab do's, you know, the in-and-out clubs and stuff like that. I meet always women with very large hats. And, you know, it was almost like they thought you were 100 yards away. And they talk about Sudan and places they all went to. And
like the officers' club.
And it was an officers' club, and there were rules and regulations. And now I've gone through this archive, and it's so fascinating, the life out
but
there.
But she's a great voice as well.
Yes. I mean, but no one seems to want to know these characters. They just want Lynn.
Who did you observe for Lynn? Was there anybody that you watched?
Well, I know this. I know, and I can never say. For legal reasons, I know who the woman is based on. But I think sometimes characters are based on more than one person. It's like, you know, someone's walk or... I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like
we're all multi-layered, aren't we? We're all onions. We've got many layers.
We're all onions, yes. And unless you see someone, you think, oh, I can absolutely get that person.
Are you pleased with your career? What are the highlights? Let's leave Lynn out of this. We're talking about stage work.
I think I've been extremely lucky to do Lynn. Let's not get that out. Yeah. You know, I'm not one of these people that says, oh, I'm saddled by Lynn. Yeah. I think that was an incredible entree into my name becoming more established, to get better, you know, to get better work, to get more interesting work. So, you know, the big directors in theatre aren't interested unless you've done, you know, certain stuff, and they can get... It's all about bums on seats now. So I'm completely realistic about all of that.
Well, you have also written yourself. I mean,
well,
you've done the...
I write dialogue, but I'm not a writer per se, that I write scripts. I would like to be in that situation. I'd like to go off and do writing courses because I've got, you know, but...
I don't think you need to do writing courses. Well, I think you just need to do more of it.
I need to do it with a partner. That's what I need to find, a writing partner. So,
in terms of sort of acting apart from television acting, you've done a lot of theatre in the last couple of years, haven't you?
In the last couple of years, yes, because I hadn't really done enough.
You've done a lot of hat and bonnet stuff, haven't you?
Not a lot, but I did Pride and Prejudice. But that was telly as well, though. I did Mappin' Lucia. That was great fun.
Was Map and Lucia a theatre thing?
No, it was telly.
I didn't see that.
It was BBC. I didn't get a second series, sadly, but it was lovely. It was wonderful.
So you're going to the bridge. You're going to do a little bit of Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
Anything after that?
Not at the moment, no.
Well, we're not worried about you. I think you'll cope. I think the phone will ring. We are glad you came in.
I'm really glad I came.
I'm so glad.
I wanted to meet you both. I thought you were great together, by the way.
Thank you.
I really enjoy you both together. And I am very fond of old Jenny over there. However rude and crude and bad
you
she is.
You brought your son to see me when he was far too young.
No, he wasn't. He was
about 12,
no,
wasn't he?
No, he wasn't 12. Was he?
He was very funny backstage.
What year did you do that tour?
Oh, God, it's going back. I mean, I reckon at least, I'd say 12 years ago.
No, Jenny.
I think you inappropriately brought your son.
My
poor
son,
man.
Don't ever interview my son, because he'll say some terrible things about me. He did that. I'm inappropriate. But.
I think he's glorious. I think you're glorious. I think your daughter's glorious. I think they're all great. Listen, we are beside ourselves with excitement for next week.
Absolutely.
You know, when you come on the screens, what we're going to be like that.
Yep, certainly are. Thank you so much.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.